This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, I'm delighted to have in the studio with me the talk radio host, Bill Press, who's the author of a new book called Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airways. Bill Press, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Matt, it's good to be here. Good to see you. Thanks.
Yeah, it's terrific to have you right here with us.
Live in person.
Live in person, in the flesh, instead of that disembodied but beautiful voice of yours. Why don't you tell me and anyone who's listening here how you got involved in the radio business?
Yeah, I got involved in the radio business sort of through the back door. I actually got involved, started running political campaigns in California, and then I ended up running for political office myself.
What office did you run for?
I ran for state insurance commissioner. The first time it was an elected office in California. That was later. But I worked my way up to Jerry Brown's policy director, his first term as governor of California. He will probably be back as governor of California. And after 4 years of Jerry, very exciting years, working on some great, great issues, way ahead of his time, I think, as governor in 1975, I just decided I wanted to do something on my own and thought I'd take a shot at the media, never having any journalistic training. I was lucky I got a job on the number one television station in California, which was KABC in Los Angeles. And being on television, I got invited to start doing some talk radio at KABC Radio.
What were you doing on TV?
Television commentary, political commentary on the evening news every night for 2.5 minutes. And then I started doing some guest hosting on talk radio, and I just fell in love with talk radio. And so I've been doing television and radio ever since. That was 1980. First in L.A., and then I got my big break in 96 when I got the co-host gig at Crossfire on CNN. And moved back to Washington, and right away I got a morning radio show at Washington. So I've always enjoyed doing both, but I really love talk radio. And that's why I wanted to write the book, because I think what these guys on the right have done to talk radio is just debase it to the point where it's disgusting.
What do you love about talk radio?
What I love about it is the immediacy of it. I really love, you know, you have your first crack at the issues, you know, and you can get into an issue and then have your say, and then look up, and the phones are on fire, right? And people can take you on right away. Agree, disagree, challenge, correct. And that there's nothing like that one-on-one relationship between a voice on the radio and a person listening in the car, at home, the office, or whatever. You don't have that on television. I mean, I love doing television too, but you know, you're looking at a camera. More and more these days, you're looking at a camera where there's not even a person behind the camera. And you can say something, whatever, and then, you know, it's okay. Then you walk out. I mean, there's no contact, you know, with the people you're talking to.
Do you ever have the nightmare you're on the air and you're asking for callers and no one calls?
I've had it happen to me when I first started. And I remember, I think it's a test that everybody gets when they start on talk radio. I don't know about you, if you've had that experience, Matt, but my first gig, I had filled in and done some stuff, but I remember the very first time I took for 3 hours, right? And I took a mile high of stuff that I was going to talk about until the calls came in. And I just kept talking. I think people knew I was scared. I was green and they were just hanging me out there.
You can run through that stack pretty fast.
You can, can't you? Do it too fast. You don't slow down. You're not yourself. You know, you got to learn it like anything else.
So tell me about this book, The Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. What has the radical right done, Bill Press, that you think people who do progressive talk don't do?
I think they've debased and degraded public discourse to the point where it's impossible to have any intelligent discussion about the issues. By the way, and I say that as somebody who thrives on political debate. I made a living at it. Not only that, and I love it.
Believe in it.
And I believe in it, yeah. And I believe in debating the issues. And I've been up against some of the best. I mean, co-host of Crossfire, I mean, that's about as good as you can get. Pat Buchanan and I had our own show on MSNBC. On Crossfire, again, it was Bob Novak, it was John Sununu, Pat Buchanan, Mary Madeline. The best, I think, of the conservative minds and debaters. But, you know, we debated the issues, and it wasn't personal, and it wasn't ugly. And today, if you listen to right-wing talk radio, it is, that's all it is. It's a steady stream of personal insult, negative, no facts, no information, just pure kind of rhetoric in the ugliest term. I think Michael Savage is the worst of all of them, but Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin.
If people don't know who Michael Savage is, why don't you give us a taste? I was on that show once, and that was enough for me.
I'll give you a little taste. I was at MSNBC with Pat Buchanan when Michael Savage, he's a talk show host, nationally syndicated, the second or third most widely listened to talk show hosts in the country, which is pretty scary. He had, for a very short period of time, a show on MSNBC. This is what I remember him for. I warned MSNBC's management, my boss, not to hire him, because it would just be a matter of time before he would implode. I thought it would take 6 months. It took a month. This is on television, not radio, but it was a talk show. He took a call from a caller who disagreed with something he said, and Michael Savage said, "So, are you gay?" And the man said, "Yes, I'm a gay man." And Michael Savage says, "Oh, I thought so. Go choke on a sausage, you pig. Go get AIDS and die." That's the level of discourse, you know, we're talking to. He was fired, and he should have been fired, but he should have been hired in the first place. But he does that now, same thing on the radio every day.
So why does it fly on radio and not on TV?
Well, it flies on the radio because the people, owners of the radio stations, actually like that kind of talk. Meaning, they like the fact that there are enough people in America who will listen to that kind of talk and support the sponsors and enable the station to make money. The problem, and this is one of the other things I talk about in the book, is that people who want an alternative, maybe who don't want either, they don't want that kind of language, or they want some intelligent discussion of the issues, or they want to hear a progressive or a liberal opinion, can't find it. There are 10 hours of conservative talk in this country today for every 1 hour of progressive talk, because the right wing dominate, own most of the stations and the networks.
But that's not the explanation we hear, Bill Press, from Bill O'Reilly, for instance, or Limbaugh. They say there's no audience for progressive talk, or that people don't know how to do progressive talk.
Of course. Of course. And you know what? You know what puts the lie to that? Madison, Wisconsin, 92.1, the mic. One of the most successful progressive stations in the country. And as you know, here in Madison, Clear Channel, one of the five companies that control most of the commercial news radio in this country, news radio in the country. But Clear Channel at one time pulled the plug on progressive talk in Madison, Wisconsin. And the uproar here was so great that they had to put it back on. And it's thriving and it's making money. The same thing is true in Portland, Oregon, in Seattle, in San Francisco, in Asheville, North Carolina, in Buffalo, New York. I could go down the list. But there are many markets like Miami, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Sacramento, San Diego, Washington, D.C., where you turn the dial and all you hear are right-wing talkers. There is no progressive talk. So where it's on the air with good management, good signal and good talent, progressive talk radio is making money. Tom Hartman, if I can just say, for example, one of the best on the left, beats Rush Limbaugh head-to-head in Portland, Oregon. Ed Schultz has more stations than anyone else on the left, beats Rush Limbaugh head-to-head in Seattle.
I'm speaking with Bill Press. He has his own Bill Press show, which is a real fun show to listen to, and I listen to it whenever I can on my way to work. He's been doing talk radio and TV for a long time. He's the author of a really interesting new book that I highly recommend. It's called Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. And I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine, and this is our program called, well, creatively, Progressive Radio.
I like that.
So, Bill, tell me, you know, a lot of people, they think
we're,
of...
We're brothers in the world of progressive radio.
They think of...
the tiny world of progressive radio.
You know,
growing.
The critics point to Air America, and it didn't go, and so they concluded from that, you know, there's nothing. there's no demand there.
Yeah. You know, it's like, first of all, I'm glad you raised that because Air America is a dark cloud over our heads. We all end up having to explain Air America, even to our friends. And the way I put it is, it's like a restaurant opens with a lot of glitz and then bombs. It doesn't mean the restaurant business is a bad business. It means that restaurant failed. Progressive Talk Radio is not a bad business, but Air America failed. It failed for the same reason the restaurant probably failed, because it had a bad business plan. It started out with bad management, not enough money, and in fact, a guy who took it over, two wonderful people started Air America, Shelley and Anita Drobny from Chicago, but they sold it to a guy named Evan Cohen. He ended up going to jail for some business, phony, crooked business deal, not related to Air America, but that shows the kind of guy he is. And remember, soon after Air America launched, they ran out of money. Al Franken had to go out and grub for money around the country just to pay the staff. So it was a bad business plan. Unfortunately, most people think of Progressive Talk Radio as Air America. So therefore, they conclude, oh, since Air America failed, progressives can't do liberals can't do talk radio. I point to those of us who were never part of Air America, who are thriving today, Stephanie Miller, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, myself, Mike Malloy, Randy Rhodes was Air America for a while.
And Mike was too for a little bit.
That's right. You're right. Stephanie, Ed, and I were not. I also point to that having, even though it failed, Air America gave us Rachel Maddow. And Air America gave us Senator Al Franken. So wasn't a total bust.
I like your analogy, Bill Press, about the restaurant. I would just play with it and say, you know, if an Italian restaurant opened and it failed, doesn't mean people don't like Italian food.
There you go. I'll use that the next time.
There you go.
Well, you know, I was just in Santa Fe, New Mexico, right? Walked up Canyon Road. That's the world of galleries. And there were two or three galleries, empty buildings, where the galleries had failed. Well, the other galleries are doing okay. Maybe they had the wrong, whatever, business plan.
Bill Press, in your book, Toxic Talk, you say that the main reason, and I think you mentioned it earlier here, the main reason that the conservatives dominate the talk radio arena, 90% of it anyway, is because of the conservative owners. That's the big reason. And in your book, you say some of these conservative owners will even take a loss, which is a cardinal sin under capitalism, take a loss simply because they don't want progressive words and ideas to get out there.
You know, nobody believes that, but it's true. And I give several examples in the book. I hope to make the case and provide the evidence that it's true. The reason they can do so is because of, again, ownership. There's a monopoly on the part of right-wing conservative owners of these radio stations. But they own, here's the way they do it. They own, first of all, horizontally. Thanks to the Telecommunications Act that Bill Clinton signed, a company can own unlimited number of stations in any given market. So they could move into, for example, Clear Channel could move into Madison, Wisconsin and buy 5-6 stations. And they have one or two stations that are doing great. That's where they make all their money. They will make a point then. They're willing to take a loss on some of the other weaker signals, weaker stations, just in order to get all the revenue from that big station. I've seen it happen in Akron, Ohio. I've seen it happen in San Diego. I've seen it happen in Sacramento. I've seen it happen also in Washington, D.C. Progressive stations on the air, getting good ratings, making money. They pulled the plug on the entire lineup and replaced us with gospel in one case, Spanish Christian music in another, sports in two others, where there are already three sports stations in the market.
One other thing I learned in this book, Bill Press, on Toxic Talk, is that a couple of the owners of radio stations a little below Clear Channel have 100% conservative talk.
Five companies own the 275 largest radio stations in the country, most successful talk radio stations. And we're talking commercial talk radio, you know, not NPR. Maybe we can get into that too a little bit. But you're right. Three of them, three out of five, 100% right-wing talk. One of the others is 86%. Clear Channel, which has, to their credit, like here in Madison, Wisconsin, put on more progressives than anybody else around the country, 74%. Still, conservative.
You mentioned NPR, Bill Press, and a lot of people on the right, when they say, they talk about bias in the media, they say, well, you know, progressives or liberals, they have CNN and they have NPR and, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I like NPR. I have a lot of friends who work at NPR. It's not commercial talk radio. It's public talk radio. It's supported by public tax dollars as well as private donations. So it's apples and oranges. The alternative to conservative talk radio is liberal talk radio, both in commercial stations. Secondly, I have to tell you, I listen to NPR. I don't think it's so damn liberal. I mean, you know what some people in public radio even call it? National Pentagon Radio. And they certainly, I think, take the government line, particularly in the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. So you're not getting a good progressive, I mean, and I don't care what the right wing say. You know, and Newt Gingrich always wanted to destroy NPR. That's baloney. Baloney. They're middle of the road or center right.
Some people, when they look at the radio terrain now and see how right wing it is, say,
"But can I just add a thing?" But there, here's a kernel of truth that a lot of liberals or progressives will listen to NPR because they do want more. They want. They like those long stories. They drive me crazy.
And you say that detracts from the potential audience for progressive talk radio. Why
is
that?
Well, it does because I think, again, I'm painting with a broad brush here. I recognize that you can call me on it. But I think there's a big difference between the people on the left listening to talk radio and the people on the right. I think the people on the left, they want to be informed. They want to be entertained. They also want to be challenged. They want to be made to think. And they're not just going to take what I say or you say and believe it and then repeat it. Whereas the people on the right, they just want to be, they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to have to think for themselves. They want their beliefs. They want affirmation. That's what they're looking for. And that's what they get. So those people on the left who want to be challenged, I think, and want to learn more will listen to NPR because, I mean, instead of getting a minute and a half, right, you get 10 minutes on Rwanda or Zimbabwe or issues that nobody else may be talking about.
I mean, it is information with NPR with, I think, as you say, a centrist slant. Progressive talk radio is information and affirmation.
Yes, and entertainment, I hope, too, right? And also, look, you've heard the show. I disagree with President Obama. I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. I'm an Obama supporter, but I disagree with Obama when I think he's letting us down, like I think he did on healthcare. I think he gave up on the public plan option much too early.
Why do you think he did that?
I think he did that because he thought he could get Republican votes. I think he did that for the same reason he said he wants more offshore drilling off the coast of the Atlantic coast, because he thinks he can get Republican votes. He's kidding himself. He's wrong, I believe. He's not going to get any Republican votes for the energy bill, just like he didn't get any Republican votes for the health care.
Yeah,
vote.
I mean, this idea, this leaning toward or leaning after, pining after bipartisanship, I just don't understand it in this. Actually, Hillary Clinton was right during the debates, during the campaign, saying, look, you don't know the political climate out there. These guys hate us, and it's just going to be a brawl, and we got to fight.
I think bipartisanship is always overrated myself. And I'll tell you one thing. If it's going to work, you need people who are going to come your way. It is a two-way street. John Boehner and Mitch McConnell have said their goal is to block anything Obama is trying to get. So it's not going to work with this gang, for sure. And let me tell you, when George Bush and Dick Cheney and that gang were in charge, they didn't worry about bipartisanship. They had the power. They used it to push their agenda. That's what I think Democrats ought to be doing.
And they pushed it through with less of a majority than Obama has.
Yeah, look at the Bush tax cuts, right? Pushed through in March 2001. Maybe he got a couple of Democratic votes, I forget right now. But, I mean, he didn't give the gang of six 6 months to try to work out a bipartisan solution. No, he said, this is what I want. Boom. Let's do it.
I'm speaking with Bill Press. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine. We're talking politics. We're talking about Bill Press's new book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. And in this book, you mentioned that actually Rush Limbaugh set this policy of the Republican Party vis-a-vis Obama when he said, I want Obama to fail. Why is he so powerful?
Well, he's so powerful, I think, for a couple of reasons. First of all, because he's got over 500 stations. He's got millions and millions of listeners. He makes a fortune. He can even afford Elton John.
Which was a scandal, too.
To play at his wedding.
I don't know why Elton John did that. He can't need the money that bad, can he?
No. But a million is a million bucks. I mean, I think what it shows about, to me, is that the takeaway is that in Rush Limbaugh's world, gay people are allowed to sing at anybody's wedding, except their own, right? Of course. So that's one reason, because Rush, he's good, he's powerful, he's popular. And the other thing is, there is a total void of leadership in the Republican Party today. I mean, who is the leader of the Republican Party today if it's not Rush Limbaugh?
Well, I'll give you Sarah Palin.
Maybe Glenn Beck. I don't think it's Sarah Palin. I don't think they'll follow her over the cliff. She is more so than Mitch McConnell or John Boehner or Michael Steele, for God's sakes. And, I mean, it used to be, and I think I say this in the book, but it's certainly true, that talk show hosts, you know, you would see what's happening in Washington and you would set what you're going to talk about on the air accordingly, right? They're dealing with this, they're dealing with this. Now we got to do this, right? No. Today it's the other way around. Boehner and Mitch McConnell and their staff, they listen to Glenn Beck, they listen to Rush Limbaugh, they listen to Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. Then that's what they do. That's what they say, and that's what their talking points become. So, I mean, I think Rahm Emanuel was correct when he said that Rush Limbaugh is the intellectual head of the Republican Party today, and they don't dare cross him. Look what happened to Michael Steele and a couple of those congressmen when they dared say that Rush Limbaugh was just an entertainer.
Yeah, they have to go kiss his ring, but or something.
Or something.
Speaking with Bill Press, progressive talk radio host of the Bill Press Show. And I'm Matt Rothschild of the Progressive Magazine. We're talking about Bill Press's new book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. Bringing back the fairness doctrine you write about in this book is not the answer. Why?
First of all, what the fairness doctrine was, just for our friends listening, it was a policy of the FCC in place until 1987. Ronald Reagan, at his direction, his FCC did away with it, which required just two things. First of all, it said, if you own a radio station, have a license to operate on the public airwaves. That's a key phrase. Public airwaves, because they are, and we own them, and they get the license for free, that in return for that, they have to have a mix of voices, that's all. They have to reflect the community they're serving. So it can't all be all right-wing, can't all be all left-wing. Second thing a fairness doctrine required is, if you're a radio station and you take a editorial position in support of a candidate or a ballot issue, you have to allow the other side to come in and express the other point of view. By the way, I remember that those days. I did it many times in L.A. I'd go in and record a spot in response to an editorial the radio station was on. I mean, as Joe Biden would say, BFD, right? You know, wasn't that burdensome? But they did away with it. And with that, of course, then Rush Limbaugh came along and a year later took off like a rocket because he was a good broadcaster. And these conservative who owned the radio station saw, oh, this is our ticket, and they went all right wing, and they still are today. But if you bring back the fairness doctrine today, first of all, I don't think there's the political will to bring it back. Democrats, let me tell you, our best liberal friends in the Senate, I've talked to I don't know how many of them, there is not one today willing to stand up and say, bring back the fairness doctrine. Not even Tom Harkin, not even Debbie Stabenow, not even Byron Dorgan, maybe Bernie Sanders. Votes aren't there. Two, I think we have to recognize times have changed. That's all. I mean, today we got all this new media that didn't exist then. So how are you going to have a fairness doctrine that applies to blogs, websites, you know, all this other stuff? So I think the answer is, partly to getting some more balance, is to just have the FCC enforce the existing rule, which says still, if you own the license to operate on the public airways, you have to operate, here's the key phrase, in the public interest. And I would argue you're not operating in the public interest if it's all right wing all the time.
Bill Press, you have some other ideas in Toxic Talk as to how we can build the progressive message machine or amplify the progressive word in the media.
Yeah, and it's my the great frustration of my life at the moment, which is back in the liberals have to do what conservatives did. There was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing illegal about it. It was very, very smart at the time. Richard Nixon hired a guy named Lewis Powell, who happened to be a prominent attorney in Washington, D.C., before Nixon appointed him to the Supreme Court, gave him an assignment, write a memorandum on what conservatives have to do to build a real conservative movement in this country. And among other things, he said, raise a lot of money and build a message machine. If they did, they created think tanks, starting with the American Enterprise Institute, and then they went out and bought radio stations. They created networks. They recruited talent. They trained the talent. They subsidized the talent. And now they feed that talent their talking points, and man, you got the biggest message machine you've ever seen. Liberals have nothing like it. And I think liberals just have to get serious. You know what? Anytime anybody complains to me about Rupert Murdoch, who owns, of course, the News Corp, which owns Fox News and the Wall Street Journal, you know, my answer is don't complain about Rupert Murdoch. Let's find our own Rupert Murdoch.
Are they out there?
Sure, they're out there. But you know what? Liberals never don't get the importance of the media. I don't know why. It drives me crazy. I've talked to some of the wealthiest Democrats, and the answer I get from them is, no, we'd rather give our money to candidates. And my response is, well, how are your candidates going to get the message out there? You know, and fine, give the money to candidates, but in terms of building a lasting movement, that's the only way to go. And believe me, the market is there. People, let's come back to what I said. If you've got 9 hours or 10 hours of conservative talk for every 1 hour, that doesn't reflect what this country is all about. 53% of Americans didn't vote for John McCain. They're not served by talk radio today. So at least it ought to be 50-50.
Yeah, and I would think...
That's not asking too much, is it?
Well, not for me. I mean, I would think
I'll tell you, David Brock, Media Matters for America, does a great job, by the way. Great organization. Thanks to them, that's where I got all the material for the book. And David Brock and I are on a mission. We're going to find that rich Democrat out there.
Yeah, I would think you could find it in your home state of California there. And while I have you, we got only about a minute left.
All right.
I just want your prognostication. Jerry Brown's going to beat Meg Whitman?
I believe so. And I'll tell you why. I think because Jerry, first of all, more people look back at Jerry's administration, the first 8 years he was governor. He was way ahead of his time. A lot of the issues we're dealing with today, energy efficiency, less is more, protection of the environment, no offshore drilling, urban centers as opposed to sprawl. Jerry Brown was dealing with those. He was way ahead of his time. People recognize that. And number two, I think they see that Jerry Brown will be 72 years old. What it takes California today is somebody who's not going to run for any other office, is not going to have to raise money, can afford to do just make the tough decisions that have to be made. And all Meg Whitman offers is a big checkbook, and I don't think that's enough.
A quick yes or no, Barbara Boxer going to win?
I think so. She's a phenomenal campaigner. And Carly Fiorina, who drove HP into the ground, I don't think her executive record qualifies her for the U.S. Senate.
Well, we're going to leave it there, and we'll check in with you, I hope, after November.
What fun.
Bill Press, it's been great having you on my show, and your book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airways, a great read. Important book.
Thanks, Matt.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by MUFA. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.